Check this out. I only have 5 spots left already for Elevate 2026 at the time I'm recording this. I only invite 10 men each year to go with me on this epic year-long coaching adventure of brotherhood and deep transformation, and this is my 6th year. If you've heard of Elevate before, or maybe this is the first time, but you're wondering whether this might be for you, know this. The men who do Elevate have typically achieved some level of success in their lives, yet still feel unfulfilled. They're men committed to rising above the distractions and compulsions, sabotaging them from living their fullness as men. And they're eager to be better husbands, better fathers, friends, bosses, just better men in truly meaningful ways. Elevate 2026 includes personal coaching with me for the entire year alongside a select group of men going through this experience with you. We also meet in person for an epic 5-day retreat in the North Carolina mountains about halfway through the year. You will be challenged to go beyond your comfort zone, but that's where the magic happens, where real change happens. And you'll be stepping into an inspired brotherhood with men who have your back and who will become your brothers for life. This journey helps you connect to and more fully live your deepest life purpose, more fully offer your authentic self, your unique gifts to your loved ones, to your community, to the world. Intrigued? Learn more. And if you dare, apply now at brianreeves.com/elevate. Now, this isn't for everyone, but if you think it might be for you, apply now. Just take the next step. This could be one of the greatest gifts you ever give yourself. 1 year. Real brotherhood, radical growth. Go to brianreeves.com/elevate. That's Brian with a Y, reeves.com/elevate for details and to apply. Remember, I've only got 5 spots left, so do not delay. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to Bridging Connections, formerly known as Men This Way. I'm your host, Brian with a Y, Reeves, former U.S. Air Force captain turned author and professional coach to men, women, and couples. Alongside me as co-host, my lifelong friend of over 40 years, Tate Arendt. Here we have the raw, real conversations we need to be having about the topics that matter most: relationships, purpose, health, spirituality, and more. Please subscribe to stay connected. All right, let's dive. Hello. If you've been a longtime listener of Bridging Connections, previously known as Men This Way, you'll notice it's been about 2 months since I last put out an episode. It's been an intense couple of months, kicking off with my Elevate in Epic Ireland retreat in September, my first international men's retreat. Oh, I was so excited about that. And it turned out to be one of my most successful endeavors that I've created in my professional life. I had 16 men from 4 countries joining me for an epic inner and outer adventure of brotherhood, connecting to deep purpose. We climbed an actual mountain into the clouds. We swam in the cold Atlantic and did some other really cool shit that I can't talk about. It's top secret. But I was just deeply, deeply inspired and grateful for all these men that joined me in one of my most favorite places on the planet. And that was in September. And then my wife and I, when I got back, we made our 8th move in 5 years. Yeah, we've made 8 moves, including 3 cross-country moves since 2022. In just, what is that? We're in less than 4 years? So I decided I just needed to put the podcast on pause. There was so much going on. You know, one of the lessons of this work that I've been doing for many years is that nothing is ever really as urgent or strictly necessary as we think it is. And when I started podcasting in 2018, I did 1 episode a week for a year. It was exhausting. It burned me out so much so that I took the entire next year off. Until I realized that I could just do the podcast at a more ease-filled pace. Like, the sky wouldn't fall if I didn't put out an episode every damn week. And that proved to be really a breakthrough realization for me. And these past few months, I once again found myself just needing a break from the podcast. So I allowed myself just that. And it's been super helpful. And as I kick things off again with this short solo episode, I feel it would be useful to start with what has been predominating my experience these last few years. You ever heard of the term ambiguous loss or ambiguous grief. It's a kind of grief that doesn't have a clear ending. It defies closure. Like, it's hard to articulate. There's no funeral, no charred remains, no obvious thing to point to and say, see, that's what I lost. It's the kind of grief that often goes unnamed, because even explaining it to someone else can feel impossible. Sometimes even explaining it to yourself can feel impossible. And today I want to talk briefly about that, because I bet if you really look within, you too are carrying some ambiguous loss that you've not quite been able to speak to, and thus not quite been able to truly let go of. So what is ambiguous loss? Well, you know, over the past 5 years, since the worldwide pandemic stole from Sylvie and I what was going to be our dream wedding in Ireland, which was, it was scheduled for April 2020, and the pandemic hit in March of 2020, so like by weeks. Well, since then, Sylvie and I have experienced something like 20 major life upheavals. Some of them we've shared publicly, some we haven't, not because we're hiding anything or ashamed, but some are just hard to put into words. I mean, how do you explain grief when there's nothing obviously dead or broken to evidence it? Now, here's a few examples. Like, I became fully estranged from my father, I think in 2022, and yet he's still very much alive. We lost the dream of having a baby, Sylvie and I, yet no baby was ever even conceived. We bought our first home on an oak tree lined street in Texas, which was supposed to be the home where we put down roots and started a family. But instead, it became a massive 4-bedroom anchor that we couldn't live in or sell. And I still carry that weight. And earlier this year, while house hunting in Los Angeles, the fires broke out. And we had only just begun looking for a home in LA. And although we didn't even have one yet, somehow we still lost a home anyways. Like, we lost the possibility of a home. Once again, finding ourselves displaced. And through all that, there were no funerals, no burned down house. Hell, we still own a dope ass house. We just can't live in it. And when people around us, friends, even very close loved ones, go through more visible loss, like miscarriages, family members lost to illness, suicide, or accident, homes actually consumed by the Los Angeles fires, like, all those things have happened to people we care about. It's easy to ask, what right do we have to grieve? But here's the thing, grief doesn't need anyone's permission. It doesn't even require a logical reason that makes sense to other people. Like, if we're really paying attention to our lives, things, people, experiences, moments we care about or enjoy are coming in and out of our experience, beginning and ending constantly. I once worked with a couple who lives in Malibu, and they would go to the beach in the afternoon. And when the sun would start to set, the wife would always get sad, which made the husband really mad. He would protest, "It's just the fucking sun setting. It goes away every day and comes back the next morning. Why are you so upset about it?" Well, she was grieving the end of the day, the end of a beautiful moment with her partner. And perhaps she was even grieving knowing the day was about to be ruined by his anger at her sadness. And of course, his anger wasn't about her sadness, but about his inability to be with a grief, with feelings he couldn't make sense of. And her sadness was also surely provoking him to feel something that he deeply did not want to feel. Renowned grief expert David Kessler says, anger is pain's bodyguard. So, reflection question for you. Have you ever felt grief over something you couldn't fully explain to others or even to yourself? Have you ever felt guilty or shame for feeling sad or hurt by something others don't really understand? And were you ever shamed by others for feeling a sadness they insisted you shouldn't feel? Just take a moment with that. And one of the hardest parts of ambiguous loss is that no one quite knows how to respond. You say, "We moved again." And people say, "Oh, wow, that's exciting." You say, "We made a costly real estate mistake and can't get out from under it." And people respond with, "Well, at least you own something." You say, "We lost the dream of having a baby." And they try to fix it with, "Well, you can always adopt, right?" Or even better, is my favorite, "I know a guy who does a thing that makes people have babies." I can't tell you how many people have responded to that one when Sylvie and I have shared about our fertility journey. And I get it. Most of us aren't taught how to just sit with grief that doesn't have a headline. Again, if there's no body, no ashes, no crisis, no court document, then it must not be that bad, right? But that's the thing about ambiguous loss. It's not about measuring. It's about meaning. And meaning is personal. There's a kind of loneliness that comes from grieving something when no one around you quite understands what you're grieving or why. And that loneliness can compound the loss over time. Because grief without witness can feel like a ghost you're constantly trying to prove to others is real. I read a profound interview with Frances Weller, author of one of my favorite books of all time, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, where he said this: expressing grief has always been a challenge. The main difference between our society and societies in the past is how private we are with it today. Through most of human history, grief has been communal. The Pueblo people of the Southwest, for example, have crying songs to help move grief along. The Mohawk traditions have the condolence ritual, where they tend to the bereaved with an elegant series of gestures, such as wiping tears from the eyes with the soft skin of a fawn. The healers in those traditions know it is not good to carry grief in the body for a long time. But now we're asked, and sometimes forced, to carry grief as a solitary burden. And the psyche knows we are not capable of handling grief in isolation. So it holds back from going into that territory until the conditions are right, which they rarely are. The message is get over it. Get back to work. That's the end of what I read in that interview with Frances Weller. So a question for you, is there a loss that you minimize because it doesn't have a headline or it's hard to explain? What might it look like to honor your experience without comparison? So back to this weekend. It's actually just this past weekend that Sylvie and I moved into this new home. Actually, oh my God, has it been 2 weeks now? Holy moly, it's been almost 2 weeks. Wow. I can't believe it's been almost 2 weeks. We moved into what we hope will be a true home base for us for at least the next few years. And in the days that followed moving in, Sylvie and I both experienced this strange wave of exhaustion. Not just tired from unpacking kind of tired, but I'm talking about deep body fatigue. Like our nervous systems had been gripping onto something for years. And we're finally told, you can let go now. We've been running on high alert for so long, constantly adapting, constantly grieving without always knowing how to name it or speak to it. And certainly not having much witness to it, other than the witnessing that she and I brought. And now finally we have a place to exhale, a refuge. And with that rest comes reflection. I've been thinking about all the ways that we've endured these seasons, both as individuals and as a couple. We've had conflicting needs, different visions, different ideas about how things should go, and certainly sometimes wildly divergent coping styles. But through it all, we've stayed together. And just a few weeks ago, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary. Still standing, still showing up, still building. And I think, you know, this is one of the big lessons I'm carrying into this new home in this new season. And that lesson is that life unfolds in seasons. We live in a world that worships summer, productivity, extroversion, growth, outward expression. But that's not how life works. Life unfolds in cycles, in seasons. And for us, these last few years have been a hard winter season, a season of upheaval, of death, of going underground, of grief. You know, I've thought a lot about our ancestors who for thousands of years depended on the actual seasons of the planet, of their environment, of their climate for nourishment. You know, one dry summer or bad fall harvest or harsh winter, and people risked actually starving. It was a common experience. The modern world is so disconnected from the seasonality of food. I mean, our grocery stores, convenience stores, always having at least food processed in some faraway factory that doesn't really deal in seasons. We don't risk literal starvation like that anymore. But as entrepreneurs, consider, we may experience winter through fewer clients, through less income, through some downturn in business. A married couple might go through a hard season of disconnection. I work with couples that go through hard seasons of having a baby for the first time, right? Those first 2 years of having a child are an incredibly difficult season for a lot of men and women. Or indeed, going through some painful loss that they must figure out how to hold as a couple. And Sylvie and I have been in such a season of loss. But we're feeling the shift. There are signs. Tiny green shoots poking through the snow. Sylvie finally this past summer became a fully licensed therapist after what has been at times a heart-wrenching marathon journey. My Ireland retreat in September was a smashing success, and we're off to a great start with enrollment in my year-long coaching program for men, Elevate 2026. We've already got 5 men enrolled by October when I only have 10 spots to offer. We start in January. Now, Sylvie and I, even a few weeks ago, signed with a really great literary agent to write our first book together. And I'm actually really excited for the lessons of our journey to find their way into our work. So question for you, what season of life are you in right now? And maybe in different areas of your life, you're in different seasons. What do you think might be an important lesson from maybe where you're in a winter season, where hardship and uncomfortable stillness, lack of progress, lack of movement are the norm? Oh, in case you hear a little bit of whimpering in the background. I don't know if my microphone is picking that up, but that's my golden retriever, who's Yellow Jean, who's sleeping right next to me as I record this, and she's having a dream. Hope you get that, squirrel girl. Well, look, I don't have a neat bow to tie on this. Ambiguous loss isn't something you resolve. It's something you dance with, something you give language to. Piece by piece, moment by moment. If you're carrying a grief without a name or a loss without a witness, you're not alone. Not everything we lose has a funeral. Not every ending comes with closure. But your experience still matters, and it still deserves space. Maybe you're still in the middle of winter. Or maybe, just maybe, the ice is starting to crack. Or maybe you're in full-on spring and summer. But wherever you are, I hope you know this. You're not broken for feeling grief, even when there's nothing obvious to others worth grieving. May you allow yourself the courage to rest, to rebuild, start over when spring does arrive. And may you fully receive the gifts of whatever season you're in. So thank you for listening today. If this resonated, I'd love to hear from you. Maybe just take a quiet moment to name one ambiguous loss that you've never spoken aloud. That in itself can be healing. So we're kicking off a new season of Bridging Connections with new episodes, more conversations with my wife, Sylvie, with my co-host, Tate, and with intriguing new guests on all kinds of fascinating and deeply meaningful topics. So until next time, thanks again for listening to Bridging Connections with Brian Reeves.